Good one, mate. I'm a real
bit frazzled. I mean, you've just come from Peter Hellier's podcast.
Yeah. What's it called?
The movie one where you talk about a movie that you just...
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it.
It's okay, nor can I, but yeah. It's a good podcast. And I did Shrek. I hadn't seen Shrek, and so I watched it, and then we went and discussed it. And you hadn't seen one
Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's a good, fun podcast. Tune in.
So, he's very good, because I can't analyse films very well.
No, he's right into it.
Yeah.
He's right into it. He does a bit of directing, though, as well. So,
he can help bring you... He's got someone you want... Because I studied film and TV. I should be able to talk about it.
You should, but that was in the 70s.
It was.
Anyway, I'm frazzled too, because I was on the front bar last night.
Very good, by the way.
I'm going to put the clips up.
Tell you why you were good? Because
it's going... It's a bit intimidating, isn't it?
It is. But intimidating... Because it's live television, which you don't do anymore. You just don't see anymore.
No.
Two, it's football, which is... I'm talking about myself here as well as you.
Yeah.
It's sort of your domain, but not really.
I'm a recent football fan.
And you're following down the road of footballers telling stories about football. And we're comedians. Therefore, it's a different... You bring a different plate to the party.
Yeah, yeah.
But you nailed it. It looked relaxed, funny.
Good fun. Well, I got a lot of footy stories because I do a lot of gigs.
Oh, great stories. That one you finished on was hilarious.
Like getting paid with the Collingwood jumper.
Yeah, fantastic story. Yeah.
I'll put it on Twitter and that.
Yeah.
But we did a gig for Collingwood, the players that Peter Hellier organised because he's a Collingwood tragic.
It all comes back.
And they paid us with a signed Collingwood jumper.
What are you going to do? Put it in the frame?
Well, I mean, that's good for... Peter and Brad Oakes also did the gig. They're both Collingwood fans. So for them, that's a big deal. For me, anyway, whatever.
You put it in a frame, put it on the wall. Who cares? And a shirt and a jumper in a frame, it looks ridiculous.
I know.
In the event of needing a football jumper, urgently break glass.
Yeah. but added to that, I got up, didn't get that much sleep, did a radio spot on Nova, and then... did 2 hours of parent-teacher interviews.
I'm not a teacher,
I'm a parent. On the Zoom. They still do it on Zoom.
So this is with Barney,
my youngest, year seven.
Yeah.
And so me, Kieran, his mother, sits there at home with Barney between us, and you do about 8 teachers in a row, I think it was.
How many? Has it got that? Because on my day,
year seven, there's a lot.
Year seven. I apologize. There's
a lot. You know, you got sport, you got that. What was interesting... What type of teacher, and I've noticed this because, you know, I've got a kid at uni now and a kid in year 10. We've done a lot of parent-teacher interviews.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have been on Zoom in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
What teacher puts a bit of effort into their background? What teacher has a great, when you go, well, that's...
A geography teacher?
No.
Maths teacher?
No, think of graphics. The arty ones, the visual.
Oh, okay.
They have the good backgrounds.
Teacher. Yeah. Yeah.
They come on, you go, oh, wow. They got like pictures and paintings and they've thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, what teacher doesn't give a fuck about the background? Who do you reckon?
PE?
PE, mate. The PE, Bernie, who played for Geelong a little bit. He's a legend. They love Bernie's a great teacher. He didn't let me down. He was sitting somewhere with a basket full of balls behind him.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's what you want.
And a whistle around his neck.
And then some guy walked through the shot several times.
Yeah, that's what you want to have. Yeah.
It's funny, PE teachers have not changed since we were at school.
I know. Yeah.
And the kids love them. They're always popular, the PE.
Yeah.
No,
what was the answer? Who did the least?
Oh, the maths teachers.
Yeah, of course.
The maths kind of geography teachers. The science, they don't care. Yeah. The sciencey ones.
Yeah.
The creative ones have a nice background. Two different teachers had ladders in their background in their houses. I don't know.
Oh, this is houses.
Yeah, we're talking houses. Some were at work. No.
I was thinking staff room.
No, some were at work, but most were at home.
Right, I apologize.
So Bernie was at work. He was at work, but the art teachers and that were all at home. They're all at home. Yeah, the French teacher.
They'd have a nice hanging something basket with a bit of rope thing they've made and a picture. And
I really wanted to ask the he was the woodwork teacher. What's that painting? I have in the past.
Woodwork? Do they still do woodwork?
Yeah, they do woodwork. That's great.
Oh, no, Woodwork's great. Usually the Woodwork teacher's missing a finger or two, though.
Yes.
They've come from the industry.
I'd wanted to tell the Woodwork teacher, but I didn't want to, you know. Kieran was like, don't tell your stories. Let's, you know what I mean? But when I was, did Woodwork in the 70s, we had to make ashtrays for our fathers.
That's a good thing. Were they round or square?
No, I made mine in the shape of a pineapple. I set myself a challenge.
And was it like a hammer and a chisel?
That's a really good question. How did you do it? There was a bit of... I think we drew out a pattern and he got on the proper saw. You know, the band... Is that a band saw?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
And he did that and then we chiseled the rest out. I remember mine not being very good because, again, even though my dad was a tradesman, I wasn't that good at that kind of thing. Not talented.
My first one was a drink tray, so it had the cup holders down the outside.
Oh, nice.
And it had the bits for the cheese and biscuit in the middle. And you chose how you broke up. I just broke it up into a square in the middle, like four sections. So you had cheese, biscuits, gherkins.
Did they use that around the house or just turf?
No.
What about, didn't one of your brothers make a ping pong table?
I made a ping pong table. My brother was working night shift.
That's right.
And I brought it home during the day and wanted to try it out while he was trying to sleep. Good on you, and it's Phil's birthday today too, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday. Oh my God, our lunch has arrived. You know what, Glenn? I didn't have much more to say anyway, so let's play the music. But hey, shout out to all the teachers out there.
Doing a great job.
Amazing.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I didn't feel like much. I had a children's serve, which I'm often you go through the menu at a pub especially, and you go, I don't know, if like a big bowl of spaghetti, and you see you've
kids
got... Kids menu?
Oof.
That looks good. Little burger.
Yeah.
As it worked out, it was a big burger and a big pile of chips. Didn't eat all the chips.
How was the burger?
Burger was real good, because we have a tradition of going to get a burger, which we...
Haven't done for a while,
and it took me back. It was not dissimilar to that burger that we used to have.
Oh, really?
A Kelso's. Yeah.
Oh, yum.
Feeling a bit nauseous now. But anyway.
No, it's fried food.
No, good. Get some chips. Yeah. So.
What, we should get the subjects, I suppose. So we get two topics and you got to work out how they're related.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's it. I think it's pretty uncomplicated.
Yeah.
Okay, and they are related. And it's not made up. It's real. And why is it real? Because our friend Sam works very hard on keeping it authentic.
The man is real, not made of steel. What song's that? Anyway, okay, Sam, what are the topics?
Paul Newman and death.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. That man is real, not made of steel is a Devo song. I've just remembered it. Anyway, Paul Newman and death. Paul Newman, very good looking.
Very good looking.
Cool Hand Luke?
Great movie. Cool Hand Luke.
When he eats those eggs?
What was that?
Eats those eggs? Isn't Cool Hand Luke?
Yeah, Cool Hand
Luke. I get him mixed up with Steve McQueen.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. What we got here...
There's a failure to communicate. Yeah.
That's when he came back. He'd escaped from jail and they caught him and then they brought him back to the gang working on the road.
And he throws a ball against the wall. That's Cool Hand Luke, isn't it?
Yeah. And eats 50 eggs.
Yes.
And the girl cleans the car to taunt them with and gets soaped up like...
That's right.
And taunts all the guys digging on the road. And then he hit... And while he's standing there, and then he goes... Oh, he talks back to the prison guard, or he talks back... So he hits him with one of those things.
That's right.
And he falls down the hill. What we got here is a failure to communicate.
He was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid too, wasn't he?
With Steve McQueen.
Oh, great movie.
Great. Now, what was the theme of that? What was that? Were they on the run, were they? No. I don't know.
They were outlaws. Were they outlaws? Yeah, they were outlaws.
They were. I can only say I can remember is when they're being chased and they have to jump off the big cliff. I can't swim or something? Did I tell you I can't swim?
Was Paul Newman in Papillon, or was that Steve McQueen?
Steve McQueen.
Papillon. I always remember that cartoon in Mad Magazine where the guy's getting mugged, and he said, after seeing Papillon, I store my money in a strange place. which I just found hilarious, because he stored his money up his backside in Papillon.
Yep.
That was a great movie, too.
You got change? Just give me a sec.
Scratch and smell version.
So what movies was he in that was big? Sting?
Oh, the Sting. Which is that con man, isn't it? It's con man, isn't it?
They set up, I think what they do Is it on a train?
Oh, it's a great movie. I can't.
Anyway, what they do is they set up. They set up a gambling place, and they set up the money coming. So the guy bets big, thinking he's going to win, but they've set up the result.
That's right. That's the sting, man. Yeah.
And everyone's playing the part, and there's one guy getting set up, and it was all the lead up to getting him. It was big. It must have been like 74, 75.
Yeah, 70s. Who's he married to?
Joanne Woodward.
He was the one who was married to the same woman for a long time, wasn't he? And he said, was he the famous quote when they said, does he ever sleep around? He said, why go out for a hamburger when you've got a steak at home?
Yeah. Well, I just had a hamburger then. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, a schnitzel.
Color of Money with
oh, wow. Tom Cruise. Is that Tom Cruise?
Yes. A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
No, I don't remember that. Was that a musical? I'm thinking A Fiddler on the Roof.
I'm thinking, is that Elizabeth Taylor? Elizabeth Taylor?
The Verdict?
Yes.
The Paul Newman? That was a great movie.
Yes, yeah, great movie.
About a washed-up lawyer. And he's playing that pinball machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did it. That's always a good start, washed-up lawyer. Already I like it.
I remember when that came out and we were either in Scouts or something and we all went off to the movies. And what year was The Verdict, you reckon?
I'm going to say late 80s.
No, it's early 80s. The Verdict must be 81 or 82.
Okay.
I reckon 83 maybe. Because I was still at school. I just remember David Wookie, who was one of my friends, went to see The Verdict with maybe one other guy. And the rest of us went and saw something, you know, like, I don't know, some like, you know, Stir Crazy or something crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was talking about The Verdict on the way home. And we're all like, he's fucking The Verdict.
Mate,
we just saw stuff getting blown up, you know. And then I remember when I saw The Verdict years later, I'm like, well, he was right. It was a great movie.
He was a very good actor. Did he always sort of play in the same, no disrespect, in the same range?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was confident.
Initially, yeah, the good-looking, confident hero kind of type.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'd have to think if he was around now, he'd be in superhero movies, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Or maybe he'd be one of those guys who just does the good stuff, does the quality stuff.
Yeah.
And I suppose as he got older, he just wanted to do, you know, more...
salad dressing.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Oh, he's salad dressing?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's like... I reckon it's probably made more money than he did.
He can still get it.
And it's really, well, my experience, when I see it in the fridge, I see Paul Newman's face, I go, well, that's going to be good.
He always looked fit. He never got fat, did he?
No. And he loved, you know what else he loved? Car racing.
Oh, of course. Is he still alive or is he dead?
Oh, no, he's dead.
He's dead.
I don't know what year he died. Well, maybe I had too much salad dressing. Maybe he had too much hamburger and enough steak.
OD'd on the SD.
Yeah. But he was... I don't know whether I think he might have driven a bit. Probably had a whole team. He probably, because those guys can buy a race team.
Yeah, he loved driving, didn't he?
What's the one, is it NASCAR? What's the one that we just go around in circles?
Is it NASCAR?
Yeah. I think it was one of those.
Oh, really?
David Letterman had the same thing. I don't know whether he drove, though. I think he had a driver. But I think Paul Newman used to drive, I think.
Eric Banner does that, but he does that one where you drive around Tasmania with a navigator.
I never really understood why you just go around in a circle. Good for viewing if you're a, you know, you can go and get to see him go round, round. It's like a Scalectric set.
Yes.
With the other tracks, you can lose sight of them. But it was just going really fast around in a circle. And then
I always think that, you know, Peter Brock, one of the greatest racing car drivers we've ever had, he hit a tree.
Did he?
Yeah, he hit a tree in Western Australia. That's how he died. He ran off the road and hit a tree. Now, if he's going to run off the road and hit a tree, what chance have any of us got in that situation?
Exactly. Poor old Pete.
Speaking of death. Well, I'm trying to remember more recent movies that he was in. But, Color of Money.
I can't.
He must have done some. Sure, he played like he did a Bridges of Madison County or one of those. He wasn't in that, but he sort of must have played a love interest in some kind of late 80s movie.
But I never really felt like he got. Did he get old on screen? Was he young?
He got a bit craggy face. Yeah, he was good. But he aged well. He looked good.
Yeah, it was
because he was so good looking to start with. You know, you're working off a good base.
He came out around about the same time as Brando. They came from that theatre background. They were often photographed, pair of jeans, white t-shirt, smoking a cigarette, looking in the middle distance.
You look at most people when they're 20 look good.
Yeah,
doesn't matter how. But when the measure is when they get to 40 or 50, what they look like.
Yeah. Well, we're doing great. I mean, I get offers for modelling all the time, as do you.
More, mainly Kmart.
Yeah, whatever. I get a bit of Gazman.
A
bit of Target, you know. elderly gent.
Yes.
I did get approached about doing a thing for a.
Didn't you going to be underwear or something? Or
I was too.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, oh, it'll be interesting to see who they get for that campaign. It was going to be me and two really good-looking models, and they're going. It was going to be something. I don't know. I'm going, hang on. Am I going to look stupid against the two models? I'm thinking it'll be interesting to see who they get, and they didn't do it. Didn't end up
Once
doing
Once you
it.
Said no, they just went, campaign's off.
And then I got one for a, I shouldn't talk about it really, for a suit company.
A suit company?
Yeah, and very flattering. Don't get me wrong. It's very flattering because you go, you've got good suits and you want me to wear them. So, you know, that's, but then I'm going, oh, I'm going to have to pull that face at you, Paul.
Yeah.
Which I did. I didn't do very well on the front cover of Domain, if you haven't seen it.
You look good. Face. As my mum pointed out, she's got the actual magazine.
Yeah.
No, not smiling, she said.
Yeah, well, but as we said, you can't smile on the front page of Domain.
They told us not to smile.
Yeah.
Now we look like bloody bankrupt CEOs.
Comedy guys taking themselves too seriously. That's what we look like. Anyway, I don't think there's anything.
And there's nothing worse when comedy people take themselves seriously and appear in the paper and say there's no room for satire in today's world or something. Yeah. Crap.
What does comedy really mean to you? Are you the sad face behind the happy face or something?
Tell a joke.
Yeah, tell a joke. I can get off. I don't think there's anything else.
Well,
the actor, he's passed. He's dead. So therefore, it leads us into this is
probably good-looking kids. You'd have to say.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I don't know.
Google that later.
Yeah.
When I'm bored.
So death.
Death.
Well, this is big.
Do you think of death often? Or?
Well, as you get older, you do.
Yeah, you do. But...
Are you scared of it?
No.
That's good. That is a really profound...
I'm not. As you know, I've been involved in two deaths in the last... My dad last
I don't
year.
Mean, no, hang on. I don't mean other people's deaths. Like this.
Oh, yeah, my own death. No, I'm talking about my own death.
All right.
My dad and then my mother-in-law, Betty, who I was close to as well. That was a year before. And both were different.
Yeah.
Betty was MND.
Yep.
So did you ever meet Betty? She was a very vibrant woman up and about.
No.
Being a bottle... She was great with us and the kids. She just helped so much. Got M&D within a year, dead.
Yeah, I know.
Dad had a heart attack at home. Didn't realize he was having a heart attack. Mark took him to the doctor. Then went to the hospital and then we take him. He goes into hospital and then he's sitting up in bed talking. And then the doctor's like, Mark and David, can we talk to you outside? And the doctor goes, does Kevin have an end of life plan? And my brother's like, is he dying?
Yeah.
The doctor's like, oh, it doesn't look good. But he's sitting up and talking. And then like 4 weeks later, he was dead.
Yeah.
Because it all just stacked up. He had blockages and stuff.
Yeah.
But that, at Did least that with Kev.
You? Yeah, go on.
There was, he only had 4 weeks of, whereas Betty had a whole year of shit.
Yeah, my dad had a whole
year.
He went into the nursing home and then started to slowly go downhill.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was, for some of it, it was good. We still could get out and about. But so, in other words, seeing those two deaths, did that help you prepare you for your own death?
I think so.
And it's you know,
I was talking to Mum about it yesterday,
yeah.
And we were talking about Betty because she was close to Betty too, my mother-in-law, and she said because you know we've been with my partner for 30 years, and Joyce, my mum, said I want to go like that, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You do. You want
like her dad, Herbert.
Yeah,
Herbert, who was at Wharfie, he sat in his banana lounge. He had a beer and a cigarette.
It doesn't get any better than that.
And then he goes, I'm just going to go lie down.
Bang. That's what you want.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
No hospice.
Yeah.
No hospital. No nursing home.
Yeah.
In the backyard in the sun there.
But my mum lasted till 99.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I've got to say, yeah, incredible.
And most her life, up until the last, when did she go downhill? A month? You reckon she had?
It was during COVID, and we could tell there was some decline happening, and it was horrible because we couldn't get in there to make her to you know, give her some love. You could only do it on the phone. But then she had some episodes during that period. She had some illness, and she had some different things going on, and we thought earlier that we were going to lose her, and you know, and then we were coming in. I got my brother to come down from Sydney. Everyone gathered around, and we were walking down the corridor at the hospital, and we. Because she was unconscious, and we could hear her talking to the nurse. She just came back and had another, you know.
They rally again, don't they?
Well, my theory on the latter years, it's like a paper glider, and that when you let go of the paper glider, it goes down and it comes up a bit, but it never comes quite up as high as it.
It was in the past.
It was in the past. So they drop a bit, they come back up a bit, but they never. So, and what you hope is that the glider has a gentle landing. And with Mum, she did, because she went unconscious one afternoon. I was down the beach and my brother rang. And this is during COVID. We got rights to drive down there. And by the time I got there, she had passed. And I was really happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was good for me to go and spend some time with her, just hold her hand and, you know. Did I tell you that story of what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, we told it on the podcast.
Yes.
When they came in to change the...
It's true, though, but you see that you stand there with the... Because that was the first time with my dad that I'd seen a dead body. I'd never seen a dead body.
Well, in confronting, yes.
Yeah, yeah, but he looked like a different person.
Yeah, yeah. Because
he looked like something from the 17th century. I said to my brother, he looks totally different.
Well, you've never seen that skin colour before. Yeah, it's a yellowy colour.
It's really weird.
But
also I go, he goes, well, should we... I said, let's just go. He's not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean, grieving is an interesting thing. It's a different thing for different people. And you try to prepare for it and you can't really. Because my dad used to be in a nursing home in Torquay. So I would spend a lot of time on Geelong Road. This is in Victoria.
Yes.
And you had a lot of time to contemplate and think. And I'm going, I haven't really lost anyone like this. I don't know how you do it. And I did read a book on grieving, which I thought
was...
And it was... gave you a simple thing to do, and you could do it mentally or you could do it on paper. But you say sorry for the things you got wrong, you say thank you for the things they got right, and you forgive them for the things they got wrong. So it's really quite simple. And it was really quite liberating to do that.
Yeah.
But mum went gently, you know, and she had a look on her face, like, because sometimes if it's painful, the passing, then you can have a look on the face, like, you know. So what do you think? You reckon lights out, done?
I think it's done. My Nana, we're talking about Nana too, Mum's mum, Hazel, and she believed that she was going to heaven because she went to church a bit.
So that makes you atheist?
No, she believed she was going to heaven.
Right? Yeah, but me
and Mum, who went to church a lot too, and Dad, both of them, Dad said, there's nothing there. And Mum said, there's nothing there.
So she reckon lights out.
Yeah, I reckon lights out.
So you're atheist.
Like, it's like, yeah.
Well, I'm not. I'm agnostic.
You ready to meet the maker?
No, I'm agnostic.
Agnostic means you're undecided.
Yeah. I reckon there's more to it than this, but I'm not sure what it is. And when I find out,
let me know.
Well, I won't, because you'll be gone. You're in dark. You're black.
Give me a call.
I suppose. Was Dave O'Neill a believer? No. Well, we're not going to get in contact. And when you find out, you go, clever, interesting.
Yes.
But, you know, but to me, it's a bit like you've travelled domestic all your life and then you suddenly get to go international.
Wow.
The international is the new journey.
You
can use that if it's quite profound, isn't it? But, yeah, it's interesting. I reckon with fear of – I'm interested why you don't fear it, but you don't know, do you?
No, I don't know. I just think you got to go. I mean, you know, the only thing you worry about is the people you leave behind. So, and you don't want to go too young. That's the thing.
Yeah.
When someone, you know, dies in their 40s or 30s, it's just I don't think that's horrific, you know, or a kid.
I
think when someone like my dad dying, he's 85, you accept it more because you go, well, you know.
It's funny when you lose elderly, but like losing Shane Warne.
That's too young.
Too young. But it's hard to comprehend. When it's an older person or there's been a history of illness, there is an acceptance where you go, I hope they went peacefully. It's not unexpected. But when it's unexpected, that's a real kick in the guts.
Oh, that's terrible. Something like that. That's sudden death. But I remember talking to the aforementioned Mick Molloy. Because he knew Kev, my dad. And he says, how old was he? Yeah. And he said, 85. And he goes, I'd take 85 at this point.
Yeah.
I said, I would too.
Yeah.
I would take 85.
My dad, 83. Mum, 99.
Once you get over 80, apparently, it's very hard to operate on them too. That's what the doctor said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I see it a little bit like a swimming pool. You've got the shallow end, which is absolute fear of death, where you're hanging onto the edge, you're not going to swim. And then at the other end is the deep end, which is complete acceptance, and which is it sounds to me like you're at the deep end.
Well,
I reckon I'm standing in the roundabout in the middle with fear of death.
Yeah.
I reckon I still, when you do accept it, I think that's when you really live in the now. You really live because you go, this is going to end.
Yeah.
And Dave, I've got something to say to you.
Oh, no, what?
I've got a gun just here.
I don't want to end just now, though. I have children.
Well, no,
and stuff.
You're not scared of it. So if
I'm
I was just
to
go whack and then I'd pop you off.
Oh,
jeez. You wanted to go quick, wouldn't you?
I wanted to go quick, but not that quick.
Yeah. So you haven't had any signs from the other side from your dad or anything like that? You haven't gone to a...
You dream about them. Yeah, that's about it.
I dream about mine all the time.
Yeah, it's weird. You wake up.
Yeah. They're not pleasant dreams. I mean, I think you're working through some stuff.
I'm looking into cryogenics. That's what...
Oh, what's that again? Were you
frozen? Like Walt Disney.
Yeah, that's not true, though.
That's not true.
No.
But you can freeze. Well,
you'd get just your head done?
Or just my head. Just kids could bring me out.
When they keep you in the fridge? Jeffrey Dahmer style? What's that down to the next to the leg of lamb? Up, Dad's head.
That's Dad's head.
I reckon you put him in the salad tray, I reckon. And then
a crisper.
So we didn't have to see your eyes every time you went to the fridge, you know. And I agree with you. I reckon viewing the body is a good thing. I didn't view my dad's body.
I think it's a good thing.
But I did with mum and I held her hand and...
I think it's a good idea. Well, should we have some thinking music?
Yeah.
What can we have? Paul Newman, a scene from Paul Newman throwing that ball against the wall? Pudumph. Well, yeah, we could play one of Paul Newman's movies, but why don't we do a make-believe where, you know...
One of us is a Pearly Gates.
I'll be at the pearly gates. Do you want to be trying to get into heaven? I don't want to be God. I'll be like the doorman, the bouncer.
Oh, and I'm trying to, because it's not a certainty I'll get into heaven.
You've just passed away. How do you want to die?
I want to die choking on a hamburger.
Choking on a hamburger.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Why don't we do the death scene?
Oh, you want to do the death scene?
No, we don't have to. Let's go.
No, no, you can do it if you want.
Let's just do the pearly gates.
Oh, you can ask me how I...
Yeah, I will. We'll talk about that. Yeah, okay, here we go. Play that. Dilla, 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 dilla.
Yeah. Okay, so it says if I go up through here, I look... Oh, there are the pearly gates there. Oh.
Whoa, mate, where do you think you're going?
Well, I think I'm going in. If these are these the pearly
these
gates?
These are the pearly gates.
Yeah, well,
that is the entrance to heaven.
Well, I wouldn't have arrived here if I wasn't meant to be in heaven. What are you saying?
You're currently standing in purgatory, young man.
What?
Purgatory.
Really? That didn't come up on the GPS.
Sorry, mate. So, what is your name?
Have a look on your list. See your clipboard there.
Yeah.
Your clipboard there. Yeah, Glenn Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S.
You're not on the list, mate. Are you the you choking on a hamburger?
Yeah, I was having lunch with Dave O'Neill, and he made me laugh, and I inhaled the children's hamburger.
Dave O'Neill scheduled for 3 weeks' time. We don't have you.
And then Dave pushed some more chips down my throat.
Yeah,
there's been an investigation.
We watched a lot of the deaths up here on the big screen in the. Square, and we had a bit of a laugh.
Do you listen to Somehow Related?
No. What is that?
Oh, it's where two things are. This one, I choked when I was doing one, Paul Newman and death, ironically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, enough of the chit-chat, mate. Yeah, sorry, you can't come in. You're going to get to see that elevator over there. Just turn around, mate.
Yeah.
Members only tonight. Turn around there. There's a little elevator you go down to hell. Hang out there. Be good. You'll know people down there.
Who will I know down there?
There's some big names down there. Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, Genghis Khan, Napoleon.
Are they good guys?
Prince Philip.
He's the latest. Yeah.
He's down there.
Yeah.
Now, mate, you'll have a good time, mate. It's party central, mate. This is heaven, mate. This is more reserved here, yeah?
I don't want to be arrogant here, but could you get God on the phone?
God on the phone? Yeah. Mate, he's very busy.
But you seem like you've got a bit of power. Just tell him that the guy who... From the comedy company,
right?
Who created Uncle Arthur is here, and I reckon he'll let me.
Alright, I'll just get him on the headset. God, you there, mate? Yeah, I know you're busy, mate. I know. Client won't take a lot of your time. I know that, mate. We've got a joker down here. What's your name, mate?
Glenn Robbins.
Glenn Robbins. Ring a bell?
Yeah, I created. I created Uncle Arthur and Russell Court.
He created Uncle Arthur and Russell Court. He needs to know them. He said to tell you that he created Jesus Christ. And the world. This joker's trying to get in. I think he works in the entertainment industry. He'd be better off in hell. You'd be better off in hell. All your mates are down there. Don Lane.
I don't want to go there. COVID's down there.
Mate, they're all down there.
Huh. Anyway, oh, that's all right. That's okay. No, I accept that. I will go to purgatory and...
How you been going, God? Sorry, mate. I'm just talking to God for a second. How you been going, God? Yeah, I know. Oh, COVID. Did you create that one? Yeah. Mate, I've got to tell you though, God, I've been pretty busy up at bloody pool gates because of COVID, mate. Thanks for that.
It's a pretty big line for COVID coming in.
There is. Yeah, that's the COVID line. You're in the choked hamburger line. It's a very small line.
It's quite small.
You and a woman from, what was that band? What was that band again, God, years ago? With a Mama Cass. Choked on a... she's the last one we saw up here. She's in here. It's good music in here. We've got all the Beatles.
Yeah.
Or two of them.
Honestly, can I say, ask, what's the food like? Oh, can you... What's
some of the Rolling Stones. Yeah, mate.
What's the food like up here?
Whatever you want, mate. Hell though, it's pretty much barbecue every day.
Is it?
Yeah, barbecue. And spam. Anyway, okay, guy, I'll leave you to it, mate. All right, guy. Yeah, mate. I'll see you tonight. Yeah, all right, mate. Good night, mate. Oh, yeah, okay. God also let me know that in your life you've done a fair bit of blasphemy and some bad jokes.
Yes.
You've made a few fart jokes.
Yes.
And you've said, let's have a look here, Jesus Christ. You've said the words Jesus Christ 4,563 times. Oh. And you've said, oh God, at least 1,270. So you've done a lot of blasphemy, and so God doesn't really want you.
Yeah, but oh God's were during making love, and Jesus Christ was playing golf.
We often watch your making love sessions on the big screen for a bit of a laugh. Anyway, mate, you're going to have to step away. There's other people coming up. Sorry, madam, just step through. This woman here worked with the sick and starving in India, so she's Mother Teresa. Yeah, come through. Yeah. Don't talk to him. Yeah. All right, mate, off you go. Members right, only.
See ya. Oh, who's that over there?
Oh, that's Paulie Newman.
He's on the other side of the fence.
Oh, no, he's
Paul in heaven.
Oh, mate, he's a great... Hey, Paulie, hang on, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love you. Call out Luke. Good work, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve McQueen, he's hanging. He's there somewhere, mate. Just go and find him. Yeah, no worries, mate. Good on you, mate.
I love you. Hey, Paul, love the salad dressing.
Ooh, the salad. Oh, I like that. I've got to cook dinner tonight. Paul, you got any of that salad dressing? Just hang on a minute. What?
Just go in and grab yourself.
Right, I'll go. Hey, Paul.
Now's my chance. Ha-ha! I got past. I'm in.
God, hang on. We've got an emergency. The Glenn Roberts character is snuck into heaven, mate.
Can't get me.
God, strike him down. Straight to hell. Oh,
Dave, you're on fire.
Oh, what's going on?
Well, you weren't on fire because you're in heaven.
You're on fire in the end.
I was on fire in the end.
But also, you'd already been killed. He's killing you again. A bit weird.
But it's heaven.
It's heaven.
Yeah. Nice. I reckon, you know, so anyway, okay. Good chat.
What is the answer? Paul Newman and death. I think because he's made a mayonnaise or whatever it is dressing, he's got a series of funeral parlors. There we go. Nailed it.
I was going to say he died in every one of his movies.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know whether he did. I don't think he did. Maybe he never died.
That's a good answer. Maybe he never died. That's a good
maybe
answer.
Maybe he never died in any of his movies.
All right. Well, Sam, what is the answer?
The actor was known to fake his own death, repeatedly so, according to the Daily Beast. In Exodus, Paul Newman had a fight scene on a balcony, but substituted a lookalike dummy of himself, which was tossed off the balcony to the ground below with cameras rolling.
Ah!
That's fake death.
The fake death.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
You have to. I mean, I'm. You know what? I don't like practical jokes.
I don't like pranks.
So, Paul, I don't know whether you should get into heaven because that's the. Doing it in front of people, trying to have them think you're dead. Didn't that happen on that show? That prank show where the model from Soul of the Century, her husband, she thought Murray was in a car accident, and then she was distraught, and they had to rolled the car. You're going too far now.
Yeah, it's too. Yeah, no good.
No good. You know.
No good. Faking your death. Having a bit of a muck around, sure, but faking your death.
Yeah, I mean, I used to sometimes. I shouldn't do it. I used to, if we had a leg of lamb, I would get the eaten leg of lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would put it down my pants and then I would sit on the couch and I'd say, oh, I had a bit of an altercation with a shark today in the water. And then I'd reveal the leg of lamb sticking out the bottom of my pants. Got a bit of trouble. But, you know, it was pretty funny. And when you know that's not true, we know it's the leg of lamb you just had for dinner.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's a good prank. But having people think you actually died. Well, there you go. There's a question.
Hmm.
Death. Death on stage.
Oh, yeah. Who's died on stage?
I don't think you would die very... I reckon you would...
I could die on stage. Die with my boots on.
No, I know. There was that comedian who died.
Yeah, in England.
Yeah, he was great.
With the fez.
Yes. He did a bit of magic. Oh,
having a noble moment.
No, I don't know whether we would get it.
Oh, he'd know. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, but Ross would know.
Ross Noble would
he's yelling
know that
at the,
guy.
He's yelling at the podcast right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You want me to look it up?
Yeah. Oh, Sam. Sam, who was... He's a British comedian, very funny. He died on stage, and he used to wear a fez.
Tommy Cooper.
Yes.
Thanks, Sam.
Funny man. Yeah. Tommy Cooper. All right.
I know. I was actually talking about death as in...
Oh, as in dying on stage.
Yeah, which is not a pleasant thing to talk about. No, not dying on stage, but not doing well.
Yeah, when you bomb.
Bomb. Yeah, bomb.
I haven't bombed for a long time, touch wood.
Because you're a four-wheel drive. You've got different gears in your gearbox.
I have bombed before, though.
Yeah. Well, it usually would be more to do with the recipient than it would to do with the giver, because you've done so many where you go, okay, well, maybe I'm not the best fit for this room. Because,
yeah.
Or maybe they're so into the... into
whatever's happening.
If you do a corporate and they're all into having sex away on a weekend, you just go, well, I'm going to crack this crowd.
Yeah, that's right. You just change gears and try and do the best you can.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you just, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen you... I've been on stage with you... And it's really it's really interesting being on stage with you.
Oh, God.
Because, I'll tell you why. Because when I'm on stage, I throw a little... Because I've got like a cap gun. I go, pop, 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 a couple of little... Because I don't do much stand-up. I go, pop, pop, pop. And then Dave O'Neill steps out, and it's come like he's got one of those...
Shotgun?
Yeah, he's just like, ka-chick, bang, ka-chick, bang. And the audience goes, boom. But we go, that's what this audience is capable of, and I'm just giving them a little tickle up.
Oh, don't talk yourself down. No, I don't like it.
Well, I'm just talking you up. I'm just being realistic. Yeah.
Thank you.
Standing next to Dave O'Neill, doing it's like you're on the high diving board and you're doing a triple with a half pike, no water, no splash, and I'm doing a bullywhacker.
No, I think you're pretty good. You used to always talk yourself down, but you always did well. So
yeah,
well, I wouldn't be so harsh on yourself.
Okay, well, I think we've done well talking about death.
We have.
We're both very tired. Yeah, maybe this will be our final one. Maybe we'll both fall asleep in our...
On the drive home.
Yeah, in the middle of the night.
What's that great old joke? I like to think how my granddad died. He died peacefully in his sleep, not like the passengers in his car. Bang!
Beautiful work.